Hi guys, I know it's been a while, but I'm coming at you with a new episode. My husband unfortunately found out that he has lymphoma, so I've been dealing with that for the past month. I had a lot going on with school, so with all this going on, my episodes are going to be more sporadic than usual, and I know they're already pretty sporadic, but be patient with me. I'll release things when I'm in a good mental space and have the time. Today's episode is going to focus on Tyler Hadley, a high schooler who murders his parents in cold blood so he can throw a party at their house. And does so, and it's a huge party, and the parents are dead in the house. So go grab your bowl, your bong, your dab rig, your joints, your blunts, whatever you need to smoke, and let's dive in to this case. Hey guys, welcome back. I know it's been a little bit. Rose 420 here. I'm here to bring you a new podcast today, a new episode, the first one in a while. As I said in the intro, I've just been dealing with a lot, but I still plan on semi-keeping up with this, so don't expect new episodes consistently, but they will be coming your way. So let's get into the strain of the day so we could get into this case. My strain is Pink Runts, spelled like the candy. And it's absolutely stinky. It tastes really good to me. It gets me stoned. I also have Pink Runts concentrate I've been smoking as well, which also gets me really stoned. So I give the bud version 8 out of 10 leaves, and the concentrate 7 out of 10 leaves. They're both very good. They taste good. They are delectable. And here's a big change. No longer drinking Pinot Grigio. I am now enjoying Whispering Angel Rosé. It's really dry and light, and I love it, and it's delicious. So I will be smoking that, enjoying some rosé. I hope you guys have whatever you need ready to smoke, a cocktail or a cottonmouth remedy. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. A cottonmouth remedy in order for you guys to enjoy the podcast. Now let's get into Tyler Hadley's case. Now that we finished with all the bays Nash from the beginning. Okay. So, not many people knew Tyler Hadley, but when he had a huge party, it didn't matter. Remember high school? You really didn't care if you knew the person throwing the party. As long as you knew where it was, you were going. So think of it like that. He wanted to have this huge party, and he achieved that. So he's in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and that's also where he attends high school, called creatively Port St. Lucie High School. He goes on Facebook and tells everybody at 1:15 p.m., party at my crib tonight, .. maybe. So he's not sure. And then he posts again at 8:15, so 7 hours later, party at my house, HMU. For my older listeners, HMU stands for hit me up. So he's telling people basically, for the details, message me, I'll give them to you. His friends were all iffy about these messages, if the party would even happen, if his parents would leave like they were supposed to. So one of his classmates messages him, Whoa, what if your parents come home? Tyler responds, don't worry, they won't, trust me. So he starts having a party at 11:30 p.m. The party really starts kicking off, getting big. So a text example for this night between him and his friend, Antonio Ramirez. Tyler says, sup, brah, which if you saw a picture of this kid, you would expect him to say that. Oh, boy. Antonio says, chillin', what are you doing tonight? Tyler replies, trying to have a party at my crib. Antonio says, your parents aren't home? Tyler says, nope. Well, they're leaving soon. So he's telling everybody his parents are out of town. He wants to have this huge party. So this is on July 16th, 2011. So around 11:30, Mike Young, somebody who is popular, he's athletic, he arrives to the party. Tyler was just standing there. He was a quiet person at school. He was almost, people considered him nonverbal, and he would have outbursts in class. So having this popular person at his party was huge for Tyler. He really wanted to fit in more. I think that's why he was so insistent on having this party. He surrounded himself with what the other kids at the high school considered the quote-unquote bad group of kids, the potheads, ha ha ha. So probably every single one of us in high school, juvenile delinquents, and pill poppers. These aren't the kids that Mike Young liked to associate with. These are strictly Tyler Hadley's friends. I gotta think of a nickname for Tyler. Ty the Dum Dum Guy. That's what I'll be calling him. Ty the Dum Dum Guy, because how dumb do you have to be to kill your parents just to have a party for a night? You want to spend the rest of your life in jail? It's insane to me. So it was warm because it was in July and they were in Port St. Lucie, Florida, where there isn't a lot happening. West Palm Beach is like semi-close at 40 miles, but that's not close for high school kids to go to easily. They especially shouldn't be, nobody should be drinking and driving that far. Doesn't matter if you're in high school or not. But it had twice as many assisted living homes as it had golf courses. It had a ton of funeral homes, bingo halls, and shuffleboard clubs. So, you know, Florida is heaven's waiting room. This town is specifically like the little tiny waiting room you go to before you actually get into the doctor. Or if you're American, like when the nurse is talking to you pretty much before the doctor comes in. So they live in a place where a lot of older people call home, people who need assisted living, people who will need funeral access, want bingo, that kind of thing. So it's not really for high school age kids. So of course, parties are always huge. I grew up not in the South, but in the Northeast in a small town. Underage drinking was huge. They even developed a like code, you know, like a very own law for underage drinking just so they could bust up parties, because that's literally all the cops had to do, which is why the Cheshire murders were handled so poorly. But I'm not going to get into those because they make me upset. Anyways, there's also a giant arcade, Super Play USA, and it's more like a family place. So they advertise themselves as a state-of-the-art family playground. And all the parks in that area actually closed down at dusk. So once the sun was set, you couldn't even go to hang out in nature at the parks because they were all closed. Probably a good idea. Gators are hard to see at night. And I'm always convinced if you're in Florida, you're going to get attacked by a gator at some point. I don't know why I'm convinced of that, but I'm just like deadly convinced. So before Mike comes here, to tie Dum Dum Guy's party, they had done all these things. And so they decided they were going to go to this party and see what Ty the Dum Dum Guy had going on, if there were other people there, girls to flirt with. You know how high school boys are. Boys to flirt with. You know how high school boys are. So Tyler answers the door for Mike, and Mike says he seemed extremely anxious, like seriously anxious. It was also on ecstasy, and this was obvious to everybody. His pupils were huge. He kept clenching his teeth, clenching his fists, touching everything. If you've ever done ecstasy, you know everything feels amazing and awesome and happy. So touching everything is usually a sign. So Tyler then announces, nobody can smoke in here. It's my parents' house. After maybe a half hour, there were 60 kids in the house. And most of them didn't even know Ty, the Dum Dum Guy, who wanted to throw this party for all these kids. They didn't even know him. So, like, they might know of him after this, but he's obviously trying to impress these people, and he's all messed up on ecstasy. So they play beer pong, the normal high school stuff, eat food. I remember once my sister had a party when my parents were actually out of town. She didn't murder them like Tyler, and they threw spaghetti all over the walls. They made spaghetti and threw it all over the walls. So, yeah. High school kids are really fun to have drunk in your house. Not at all. Bottles would fall, kids would laugh, people smoked in the house, even though Tyler said not to. They were putting out their cigarettes everywhere they possibly could. So Tyler got paranoid about them smoking and eventually let them just smoke in the house because he was worried that the neighbors would call the cops on the party and break it up. Somebody finally says, it smells like dead people in here. So Mike says, what's that supposed to mean? And they say, oh, I don't know. Some people are smoking, that's all. And the person wandered off. So they're playing, you know, Lil Wayne, who, if you know me, you know I love him. So love bringing up Lil Wayne at any point. Wiz Khalifa, everything, you know, high schoolers would listen to at the time. You know, probably some Nicki Minaj thrown in there, some very early Drake. Young Money was huge then. So I'm assuming if they were like us in high school, they're doing the same thing we were. So people keep asking Ty where his parents are. He tells one person, oh, they went to Georgia. He tells another, oh, they're in Orlando. He tells a third person, they don't live here. This is my house. So clearly people are starting to wonder, get suspicious. So they start questioning things, especially his good friend, like Mark Andrews, who had known Tyler for 11 years. They met when Tyler was 10, and he showed up to Mark Andrews' house because he got in a fight with his parents, and he vowed that he would eventually kill his parents. Mike is not the right one this time. Mark told Tyler that all parents pissed off their kids. And Tyler calmed down. They laughed. I mean, I get it. Teenagers say a bunch of shit they don't mean. And, like, I definitely said stuff about my parents I didn't mean. I probably said, you know, the dreaded I Wish You Were Dead, which makes me cringe now because I want them to live forever, which is always how it goes in your teen years. You can't wait to get away from them. And once you're an adult, you want them in your life forever. That being said, I would never murder my parents to have a party. I would never actually want them dead. So I get why Mark kind of just brushed this off and kind of went on with his life and didn't really think about it again until this party when Ty-Ty, the dumb guy, starts giving wrong answers, different answers, you know. So this pops into Mark's mind, and he remembers this conversation. 2 weeks before this, Tyler's other friend, Marky Phillips, so there's Mark Andrews, and I'll call Marky Phillips Marky, because that's what he goes by. So Marky had Ty-Ty the dumb guy over his house 2 weeks before this, and Tyler had exclaimed he wanted to kill his parents and have a big party after. So once again, Marky kind of brushes this off, tells him it's a crazy idea. He thought that Tyler was just making a joke because, like I said, teenagers say dumb things, and who, you know, kids get upset with their parents, but nobody actually believes that somebody is going to murder their parents to have a party, so he brushes it off. So, in a Facebook chat with a girl named Mercedes on July 2nd, 2011, so just 2 weeks before the party, Tyler was complaining about his mom. She wasn't happy with him. They knew he was smoking weed. She took away his phone. Ty-Ty the dumb guy messages Mercedes on Facebook and says, and excuse my language, but I'm going to quote him directly. And I know some people don't like the C word, so if you don't like it, maybe fast forward 30 seconds because it's about to be dropped. Tyler says, LOL, yep, she's a cunt for sure. Faux show. He literally said F-A-S-H-O. I'm shaking my head right now, even though you can't see me. So he says, LOL, yep, she's a cunt for show. I might kill her. Mercedes answers, oh my God, no, jail, or I mean prison, !! LOL. Tyler then answers, oh well, with the heart, but like a less than, and then a three, so like the old school hearts. So he also messages his friend Matthew Noble, who is also a junior at Port St. Lucie High School. Let me say that over. That was ugly. Port St. Lucie High School. And he had this exchange with Tyler, Ty-Ty the dumb guy, the day of the party in the morning before. Matt says, did you do it? Tyler says, no, but I'm gonna. Matt says, bet. You really should now. Do it. Tyler says, don't worry, I am. And then I'm going to have a party. Yeah, party time, N-word. These kids are white and should not be using the N-word. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm cringing for them. So remember, this town wasn't built for teenagers. So this becomes huge news that this party is happening. So Tyler's parents had moved to Port St. Lucie from Fort Lauderdale 24 years earlier. Their names were Blake and Mary Jo Hadley. And they were planning on moving anyway because they wanted to be closer to Blake's parents because they had retired. They wanted to, you know, be able to care for them and be there and all of that. So Blake was an engineer, and he worked at the St. Lucie Nuclear Power Plant for 30 years. And Mary Jo was an elementary school teacher who was loved by all of her students. Every kid had nothing but nice things to say about her. The parents loved her as well. So Tyler begins to start using marijuana in his adolescence because Port St. Lucie is famous for two things. The New York Mets do their spring training there and marijuana. This is because when the real estate market bubble popped and everything, but right before that, Miami dealers were buying empty houses with the way the market was and then just making them grow rooms. So they had a huge market for weed. In 2006, there was actually an investigation into this, and it busted 69 pot farms in that town. But once the weed was there, it stayed there, and the population of Port St. Lucie continues to grow, even though the median age has plummeted. So more than a third of the city's inhabitants are becoming younger than 24, which, if you remember in the beginning of this, I said it was mostly retirement homes and funeral homes and bingo halls. So there's just a lot going on in this town. So there's a lot of crime that comes along with this. There are kids that get caught for having sex with underage girls. There are kids vandalizing houses. These are teenagers too. They're 14 years old, the kid that vandalized the house. People were breaking in places, as comes with most black markets. The illegal activity goes up as the items become more available. I am not saying marijuana makes you commit crime, but black markets and places where it's a big thing, crime definitely coincides with that. So by midnight at Ty Ty the Dumb Guy's house, there were 100 people. And it wasn't a big house. It was like a little ranch in Florida. If you're from America, you know what I'm talking about. All the houses in Florida pretty much look the same. It's that one level, little small guy house. I mean, I know there's mansions there, but these are more common. They had a dog, but it was hiding because it was scared. It was hiding in Tyler's older brother's room. He had moved 6 weeks earlier to start college. His name was Ryan. So even though this party only lasts a few hours, the house ends up looking completely ransacked. There were clothes everywhere. Bed frames were cracked. Floors were cracked. There were sheets thrown about. You know, high school kids can't handle, should not be drinking. I do not support underage drinking, but holy shit. They just ruin people's houses and think it's okay, which is very on brand for how selfish high schoolers truly are. Anyways, so Tyler stops talking to everybody and he starts awkwardly standing near his mother's computer room. So nobody knows if he's being strange because he was always kind of strange, but people pick up on this. So the party runs out of beer and Tyler asks Mark Andrews, because he's 21, and his girlfriend to go to the gas station and get some more beer. Tyler gives them a huge wad of $20 bills and asks for 4 cases of Busch Light. Yuck. Yuck. Ew. Sorry, Busch Light fans, but ew. No, thank you. Although I remember in high school, Milwaukee's Best sometimes, or Keystone Light. Those are not great either. Yucky. 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 Tyler rides along with them, even though he can't go in, and mentions to Mark's girlfriend that his father was dead. So Ashley doesn't really know Tyler and assumes that he passed away a long time ago, even though Tyler had murdered them that day to have the party, like I said. So the kids, they come back and they're playing water pong because all the beer was out. People were selling marijuana and pills and whatever else they had. And people were sending out texts that this was the biggest party that had ever been thrown and how cool he was and all this stuff because it's a boring town. So when you have something to do for the night, it means a lot. So somebody comes into the living room with a mailbox, and Tyler starts screaming. He starts saying it's a felony and the police are gonna come and that it needs to go back. So he's freaking out, which is abnormal because, you know, yes, you should not be destroying other people's property, but drunk kids knocking a mailbox off isn't probably gonna send you to prison for the rest of your life. So he was absolutely freaking out. And during this, somebody notices that the door to the master bedroom was closed. So the person that notices tries to open it, but it's locked. And he noticed a black smear about a foot long near the door. So, like beneath the door jamb, he noticed that there's just this black blob on the floor. He says it looks like oil-based paint, and somebody had tried to walk it away and did not clean it up successfully, or use the paint successfully and left a giant smear. So the party is starting to wind down, and Tyler turns to Mark Andrews and says, "Dude, I did something. I might go to prison. I might go away for life. I don't know, dude. I'm freaking out right now." Mark's like, "What are you saying? Why are you bringing this up now?" Ty, the dum-dum guy, says, "Dude, I know you're not going to believe me. No one will. I freaking killed somebody." Mark Andrews then says, "Dude, you killing somebody is your own business. Don't be telling me that sort of thing. I don't need to know." So a real stand-up guy, this Mark Andrews guy is. Somebody confesses a murder and he's like, "That's personal business. Don't you be telling me that. Don't you do it." And yeah, I just think that's terrible that he was just like, "Oh, that's none of my business." So Ricardo, who he messaged earlier, if you remember me bringing that up at the beginning of the episode, he says, "Thanks for having us over." And Ty, the dum-dum guy, says, "I just wanted to do something fun before I left." So they all start asking him where exactly he's going. Tyler says, "I'm going to kill myself because I did something really bad." So somebody says, "What'd you do? It cannot be that terrible where you need to take your own life." And Ty says, "Don't worry, if I'm caught, I'll be in jail for a long, long time." He said, he continued on to say, "I'm going away for 60 years." And then told everybody they would find out why tomorrow because it would be all over the news. So he's talking to his friend Michael that was at the party, and it's around 1 a.m. and they go outside, and Ty, the dum-dum guy, turns to Michael and admits his guilt and says, "I killed my parents." Michael doesn't believe him, like many of his friends, and is like, "Oh, okay, dude," or, "Yeah, right." And Ty says, "Michael, I'm being real. I'm not lying to you. If you look closely enough, you can see the signs." He told Michael to look in the driveway. What's in the driveway? A black Toyota Tacoma and a red Ford Expedition. Those are Tyler's parents' cars. So how would they get to Georgia or Orlando or wherever else he said if they don't have their cars? So Michael still thinks that Tyler's lying or exaggerating and doesn't believe him. So Tyler takes him into the house. Michael immediately slips on something in the garage and turns on the light, and it's blood, a puddle of blood that he fell on. Ty leads Michael to the master bedroom, and there was blood all over the door. So that oil paint they thought they saw, that was blood smeared on the floor. And Tyler finally opens the door for Michael, and it's just a mess. Everything is covered in blood. The sheets, there are towels covered in blood, and there are bodies in there. So the afternoon of the party, before 5, Tyler took his parents' cell phones so they couldn't call anybody, and he turned on Feel Lucky by Lil Boozy. He's a rapper, if you don't know that. He took 3 ecstasy pills because he thought he needed to be super messed up in order to kill his parents and wouldn't be able to do the deed if he was sober, and goes into his garage to find his weapon of choice. He picks up a claw hammer. He comes back in the house and he sneaks up behind his mom while she's at the computer. He stood there for quite a few minutes thinking if he could do it, thinking about how he would do it, thinking about what he would do if she didn't die right away. So in the end, he raises the hammer and brings it down on his mother's head. She's screaming "Why?" repeatedly as he kills her. Blake, aka Ty Ty the Dum Dum guy, his dad runs out of the master bedroom because he hears Mary Jo, aka Tyler's mom, screaming, asking why. And Blake was not a little man. He was 6'1". He weighed 300 pounds. But he saw his wife dead with Tyler standing over her with a hammer. Blake screams at Tyler repeatedly, also asking why. And Tyler answers, "Why the fuck not?" He kept repeating this question, "Why the fuck not?" while he beat his father to death now with the claw end of the hammer. He even made fun of his father while killing him. He started imitating him, trying to stop Tyler when he was obviously incapacitated. Both of his parents died from their wounds. When this was done, Ty Ty the Dum Dum said he put towels around their head and put them in the master bedroom. He laid their bodies side by side, face down, and put the hammer between them. He said it took much longer than he had anticipated to clean up, and the total cleanup time was about 3 hours. He obviously didn't do that great of a job because when he brought his friend in to prove it happened, he had blood left everywhere. There were bloody towels, pillowcases, a coffee table, a sponge mop, Clorox wipes. These were all just filled with blood from where he tried to pick up. He also showered and then continued on to stare in his bathroom mirror and just laugh. So another friend was at Tyler's house when he was showing Michael around. The crime seemed to prove he did it. His friend's name is Max. And so Max looks in and sees what happened in the master bedroom, saying that Michael looked deranged. Michael didn't leave the party. He found this out and stayed for another 45 minutes, posing with Tyler in selfies. They were in the garage for one. They were best friends, so it wasn't weird for them to take selfies, but the selfies are chilling, knowing that he knows this kid just killed his parents and he doesn't care. And his other friend's response was, "Don't tell me, that's none of my business." Like, who? Listen, nature versus nurture is a thing, and obviously he was born with some issues. I'm definitely gonna say narcissism, but who are these people he's surrounding himself with? They did not help his narcissism or his psychopathy at all. Like, probably made it worse by taking selfies with him and making him feel like this is something that could have been brushed under the rug when he just killed his parents, and you're going to stay at the party for 45 minutes more and not say anything or do anything. What if he freaks out and kills somebody at the party? How do you know that's not going to happen? He killed his freaking parents. So everybody start at 2 a.m. Somebody announces that there's another party at Mike Young, if you remember him from the beginning, the popular kid's neighbors. And everybody began running and they wanted to go to that party. They were sick of this party. So Tyler, who just sacrificed everything to have this party, starts running after them, saying, where the hell is everybody going? So somebody explains to him that they're going to another party, and Tyler just says, oh, all right. So 14 cars with kids all peel out of Tyler's little neighborhood and went up to go to the party near Mike Young's. So when they get to this party, a girl came outside, not dressed. She wasn't having a party. It was just a rumor. But this is important because everybody leaving finally causes the neighbors to call the police, which they're probably concerned not only with the noise, but that these kids were now driving drunk to go to a different party. So Rayanne Wallace, who lived next door and had known Tyler his entire life, called the police on him. So the police, of course, end up going to the house to check and see what's going on after they hear a noise complaint, blah, blah, blah. But first, Tyler has some history with Rayanne. So she always thought of him as very respectful and polite. She saw the father and son playing basketball in the driveway for hours. She would hear them laughing in the pool in the backyard. But once Tyler hit high school, it was completely different. They didn't laugh together anymore. His personality changed. He started smoking weed. He would just blurt stuff out. He was kind of weird. He was an outcast. He was turning into an outcast. And his parents didn't really know what to do. And so another neighbor, Dee Dee, who is not Gypsy's killer, this is a different Dee Dee, was worried that Tyler was going to start a forest fire because he was putting out joints in a wildlife preserve. I mean, this just sounds like an excuse to be a nosy neighbor to me and tell on the neighbor's son. Mary Jo immediately defended her son and said he doesn't smoke. Dee Dee says, well, I saw him with my own two eyes. And Mary Jo says, you don't know Tyler at all. So a couple weeks later, what happens? Tyler lights the wildlife preserve on fire. I mean, this lady saw it coming. She literally saw it coming. And it happened because, not because of a joint, but they had brought a couch into a clearing and put gasoline on it and started a fire that way. So, yeah. Tyler also had gotten into a fight at a friend's house a couple weeks before this, about 2 months before this, and was arrested on charges of aggravated battery. He had a juvenile record because of the fire and also previously committing burglary. So he got his phone taken away. So he messages somebody on Facebook named Isadora. He says, don't text me about drugs. Isadora says, what happened? Tyler says, my mom has it because I got arrested on Monday and she's flipping shit. I just got out today. Dude, if I got arrested in high school, I would be lucky to be multiple times and was like beating people up and stuff. I would be lucky to be alive. I have an Italian mom. They don't mess around. Like, I would not only not have a phone, I would no longer have a head probably or a life. I'm just kidding. My mom never abused me, but like she would have not played. No. She would not have played that. So Isadora says, oh shit. Tyler goes on to said, fucking shit sucked. I read it like that because it's in caps and sucked is all dragged out. So this conversation goes on and Isadora says, what are you doing? Tyler says, nothing concerning suicide. Isadora says, why? Tyler says, because I want to die. Because I want to die, I guess. It's not funny, but like what an obvious answer. And why would she, I get she was asking why, like what the background reasons were, but what a sarcastic ass answer. What other reasons are there, Tyler asks. Isadora says, are you being serious? Tyler says, yes, I don't know, I want to die sometimes. Isadora says, don't die. Smoke a bowl whenever you're down with that face with the tongue sticking out. Tyler says, I used to. Now I drink a lot when I'm depressed. It feels the emptiness inside of me. Isadora says, you're quite the character. And Tyler says, yes, but all my smiles are fake. So people say that there were still times that the old Tyler that got along with his parents would emerge and they were really trying and Tyler would apologize to his mom after he would freak out on him and all this. So in a chat with Mercedes, if you remember from earlier, Mercedes says, I'm sad. That sucks, dude. Is your mom pissed? LOL. Tyler said, no, she's disappointed. I feel bad. She was crying. Mercedes says, oh, did you do anything for her today? It's Mother's Day. Tyler says, yeah, me and my brother took her out to eat and whatnot. Ha ha. Mercedes says, oh, that's so nice. Tyler says, I know, all capital letters. It was a nice day. So 1 month before Tyler's party, Tyler came home in a state he described as, quote, smashed as fuck, unquote. Ugh, teenage boys are so eloquent, aren't they? After a night, and he had urinated on one of his friend's beds. So Mary Jo, his mom, takes him to a mental health clinic called New Horizons, and Tyler was forced into daily counseling. Coworkers had even started to ask Mary Jo if she was worried Tyler would ever hurt him, and she always responded no. She was just worried Tyler would hurt himself. Mary Jo suffered from depression, and so she kind of understood and was just worried that's what her son was going through. She was trying to make him make sense in her mind, I think, and relate to him and be there for him maybe in a way her parents weren't and truly understand. Just 2 weeks before the party, Mary Jo told friends that Tyler was over the hurdle and she was so happy that with his improvement that she thought he was back to himself. The weekend before the party, Tyler went with his dad, Blake, to see his grandfather in Georgia, which is probably where the Georgia lie came from when he told people that his parents were in Georgia and family from all over came from Indiana, Minnesota, and Florida. And people there said they didn't see any issues between Tyler and his parents. They seemed like they were getting along. And they saw the old Tyler coming back, just like his mom said. So Tyler runs into one of his friends while he is back home. The Hadleys were out to dinner, and they had stopped at a Circle K where he ran into him. His friend Cameron says, how are your mom and dad? And Tyler says, they're all right. And Cameron starts having small talk with him and saying, you know, it's my birthday. Me and my girlfriend are going to go to Benihana's to celebrate tonight. And Tyler replies with, happy birthday. Come to my house tomorrow. I'm having a party. We'll celebrate. So clearly, as early as the night before, Tyler was planning on murdering his parents to have this party. So he did not change. He was premeditating their murders. So Rayanne Wallace puts the call into the cops. She knows that his parents wouldn't allow him to have a party like that. And she was upset because two kids drifted on her lawn. Because as I've said a million times, high schoolers are not the most considerate of other people, especially when they are drunk. And they definitely should not be driving or drinking underage, but definitely not mixing the two together. So the officers ring the doorbell and Tyler told everybody to be quiet and hide in his room. He opened the door. So the cops tell him, you know, there's been a noise complaint from one of your neighbors, and they talk to him for a few minutes. Once the cops leave, obviously all the kids come out of that room and the party starts again. At 2:30 a.m., Tyler's friends began to come back to the party, and it was clear to everybody that something was wrong with Tyler. Michael, his friend from earlier, had grabbed 10 Percocet pills that Tyler said he was going to use to kill himself and hid them. Tyler slammed the door when more people began showing up and they would enter. He started checking all the windows, checking the blinds. He was clearly paranoid at this point. The police had come and he had just gotten out of that by the skin of his teeth. So I think he was paranoid with the people coming back that they were going to come back and find his parents. So Tyler tells everybody, I might have another party tomorrow night, and his parents were going to be gone for a while, and that he might be going away for a while. And when people asked, what are you moving? Or are you going on vacation? He would answer, just going away. And I don't know if I'm coming back because I'm thinking about killing myself. At 4:40 a.m., Tyler took to his Facebook and posted, party at my house again, HMU, which as a reminder stands for hit me up. The party continues on and the police show up. Michael, his friend, had called the Crime Stoppers hotline and finally told them everything that Ty, the dumb guy, had told him. Which, about time, one of his friends has some sort of moral compass and does something about the dead parents. So, officers Adrian Zamoyski, I could be saying that wrong. I'll spell it. Z-A-M-O-Y-S-K-I. Zamoyski? And Charles Green were dispatched to the house at 4:32 a.m. They were parking across the street and just observing. They noticed the cars in front of the house, a cream color Lincoln, a black Toyota Tacoma, and a red Ford Expedition, and ran the plates. And they realized that they were registered to the whole family. When the officers began approaching, they heard somebody talking inside the house. Green decided to kneel by the window and peer in to see what was going on inside the house. They were concerned because obviously the parents were home, or at least their cars were. Tyler was just pacing across the living room floor. He was talking to himself. He looked very disturbed. He wasn't blinking, and he was saying things nobody could understand in a frantic and unintelligible manner. He kept doing this, and he would move books. So finally, they knock on the front door and ring the doorbell, and nobody answers. So they can see Ty, the dumb guy, through the window, but he's not answering. And he turns off all the lights in the house. So then Tyler opens the door. His hands were hidden, so Officer Zamoyski drew his gun, and he ordered Ty-Ty the dumb guy to put up his hands and step out of the house. He was checked for weapons, and they handcuffed him. When they asked our adults home, Tyler said no, and he seemed incoherent and annoyed, and like he was about to freak out. So he starts telling them, I know I'm going to have to go to Rock Road, the jail. Just take me. Just take me. And when the officers start entering the house while Tyler is still cuffed in the driveway, he starts screaming at them, you can't go in there. Don't go in there. Of course, when they enter, it's all empty beer bottles, red Solo cups, pots and pans are everywhere. There's cigarettes all over the place. There's broken bottles. Inside the closet, they found the dog locked in there, which pisses me off beyond belief. I don't even want to get into that because, as you guys know, I have three dogs. I would never lock them in a closet. Like, come on, bro. I realize he doesn't have normal emotions, but leave the poor dog alone. So the cops finally approach the master bedroom and notice the dry blood, and they force the knob open and find Tyler's parents, Mary Jo and Blake, murdered. So Ryan's brother has to come home from college. He's 23 at the time, and he has to, you know, deal with the fact that his brother murdered his parents. And he starts to visit him in prison, saying, it's what my parents would want me to do. They wouldn't want me to abandon him. I don't know what I'll say. I'll probably just sit there and cry. Tyler's friends can't understand the motivation, but Tyler was also kind of an outcast. So, you know, like I said, he had weird behaviors before. So he clearly needed some help, but his friends don't know what actually motivated him to finally kill them. His friends said that his parents were abusive, according to Tyler, and his dad had punched him in the face, and they put lots of pressure on him to be a certain way, and anything he did wrong, they'd go crazy. I don't know if I call taking a cell phone away for getting arrested crazy, but what can you do? And they said he was doing a lot of drugs. So that could have definitely caused him to murder his parents in order to have a party. I mean, he said that he took ecstasy just so he could be high enough to murder his parents, which is crazy. But if he was having drug issues, you don't always think correctly on drugs. I'm not saying you murder people, but if he had other mental issues going on and was taking ecstasy or other illegal drugs, you have no idea what interaction that could have with his medical issues. He clearly had mental issues. All right, so that is all for today's episode on Ty-Ty the dumb guy, the kid who murders his parents just to throw a party, which is so ridiculous. He's in jail for ever. He completed his GED since being in jail, and his brother continues to visit, knowing that's what his parents would want. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a rating, leave a comment on whatever streaming platform you're on. Please recommend us to a friend, and please keep listening. I promise I will still be coming out with episodes no matter how sporadic they are. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Have a great day.